Are you cool with it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. I'm an addict. My name's Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
I'd reopen, but we just opened. So, I'll start with my clean date's July 24, 2012. My home group's Tuesday Night Ties at Bind in Beaver Valley, Baden, PA. And I hate sharing on topics. Just feel like it's very hard to keep my ego out of it and get over the what should I say type of stuff. Luckily, the longer I've stayed clean, the more experience I've had and gained, and so I do like have some experience with the topic. So the topics are simple. When I had 18 months clean, I was very gung-ho, and I got it tattooed on my chest. I don't regret it, but it was probably a bold move at the time. So I read it once before coming up. I tried real hard not to like think about what I'm going to say, and I'm just going to, like I said, I'm going to try to share my experience to the best of my ability without sharing my opinion or what I think I should say or what I think you need to know about what I know about it. So in the literature, it talks about the universal program, and I mean, it makes me think of unity. It makes me think of how all are welcome. It makes me think about how it's about the similarities and not the differences. And it's been my experience, man. I probably have, well, over time I've learned that I have way more in common with most of you than I ever thought I did. I really thought the only thing we had in common was like the pain and suffering of active addiction and this disease, because I've always thought I was different. And I have a problem with like looking at the differences. I always have. It's just an easier way for me to separate myself from you. It's easier than me telling myself I'm scared of intimacy and relationships. And so I go straight to judgment, and I pick something that makes it easy for me to separate myself from you, and then I run with that. And I've gotten a lot better with that over time, and prayer and practice and like applying principles. And So it just makes me think of like how all are welcome. We need everybody. Not all of us are good at the same things. Not all of us are bad at the same things. And not that I even like using good or bad anymore. But how we're all welcome and we're all needed here. And then it talks about the square, and probably my favorite part of the whole thing, like the base and the goodwill and how this is founded in goodwill. And it talks about like what is goodwill, and I've had to learn probably the hard way what it means to practice goodwill and what service, like selfless service, really is. I served for a while out of like straight ego, looking for an attaboy, wanted you to know who I was, or wanted to be like a somebody in a nobody program type of thing. And I mean, luckily for me, like nobody ever gave me the attaboy, and I just kept trying for it. And then eventually, somewhere along the lines, it transitioned from like wanting you to know what I was doing and see me to just doing it because of the benefits I got from serving NA and giving back. Been involved in a bunch of different kinds of service, and I used to think the like formal forms of service were the most important parts of this thing, like committees and events, and it all tied into that like serving out of ego stuff. And what I've learned over time and through doing different things is that like right now where I'm at, man, it's like the most important form of service I can do is like make new people feel welcome. Like I stand at the door of my home group and I hug people, and I'm just there. I stand there for about an hour, Nah. It's the easiest service commitment I've ever had. But I get a lot out of it, and I know... I'll say this first. I believe that, like, the cool thing about serving NA and giving back here is that I'll never truly know if any of it ever helped anybody. And it doesn't really matter if it did or didn't. But the flip side of that is I've had people tell me how welcoming them to a meeting helped them. And I know from my own experience, the people who welcomed me, we were just talking about, I was talking about the first, one of the first people who hugged me. He's dead. And I will never forget that dude, ever. Just like the first person who was kind to me when I got to Narcotics Anonymous and how important that is. And so between like that and sponsorship and just being an active home group member and learning how to do that stuff like for the right reason, that's how I try to like practice goodwill. And then I take it outside of here and I try to practice it with everybody. Just like treat people how I want to be treated type of thing. And I don't always succeed, and sometimes I'm a jerk and I can be short and I can be closed-minded. But I always try to like readjust and re-aim. And I just do the best I can, man. That's really what we're all trying to do. So then it talks about the pyramid, like the part you can't see, it refers to it as, and it's the four sides, and God, self, society, and service, and really, on a personal level, how I try to utilize these things, or I almost try to use it as like an inventory, like my relationship with these four things, God, self, society, and service, and if I'm pouring into those four things, usually my life is going really smooth. If I'm like actively talking to my higher power, I'm actively giving back to Narcotics Anonymous. The new one, and not new, because listen, from the time you stopped, or I stopped getting high, I was building a relationship with myself. But I treated myself pretty poorly, clean, for a while. My behavior and the way I act and the things I do to myself. I mean, smoking cigarettes was a big one, but like the way I ate was a big one. I ate like I was trying to kill myself with food for the last, I don't know, 9 years here. And would like, same way with getting high, I'd like joke about it. Like, it's funny, my two entrees and my dessert for three people that I'm gonna eat by myself. And really ain't nothing funny about it. So that's like a new thing I've been on like for the last couple years, like trying to treat myself better physically. But that took a long time, man. It took me 5 years to quit smoking here. It took me 9 years to start eating right. I had to stop getting high and work steps and apply principles and like just stay clean for a while. To even know that I wanted to treat myself better in that way. Because it sounds good in the beginning. Like, it sounds real good. Like, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get in good shape. I'm going to get laid. I'm going to do all, like, it sounds good. But again, if it's not, like I was talking about, like, if it's not for the right reasons, I don't stick with it. I just never have. I don't stick with it. So that's new. My relationship with God. How long am I supposed to talk? Half an hour.
All right. You can go longer if you want to. I'm cool with it.
I was hoping you'd go for 40. All right. So my relationship with God. I'm not going to be able to give you a half an hour. I'll do the best I can. My relationship with God. I was just talking about this with somebody. When I first got clean, I adamantly would have looked you in the eyes and told you I didn't believe in God. There wasn't one. I was cool with everything else you wanted me to do. I was not praying. I just wasn't. Through like step work, I learned that it's not that I didn't believe in God. It's that I had a resentment. if there is a God, how did this happen to me? Why me? Like, the same shitty attitude I've had my whole life about, like, why is this happening to me? I still wasn't praying, though. I just acknowledged that, like, that was what it was, but I wasn't praying. It just reminded me too much of, like, growing up. And I just wasn't doing it. And, I got on a 6-step and a 7-step and eventually realized, like, I can't self-will my way out of these behaviors and I need to try something. And, so it's been legit just me asking for help practicing principles for the last 9.5 years. Most of it is please help me. And I keep it real simple like that, and it's evolved, man, and it's deeply personal. I'm more than willing to talk with it, with people if engaged about it and they have questions. I still haven't figured out where the line is of what's okay to share and what isn't, like what I need to keep to myself and what I don't. So I do pray and I do have a God of my understanding, and I will talk about that because that's in our literature, and so it's okay for me to talk about it. But it took time again, same thing. The society piece of that, it's another one that, like, I mean, as soon as I stopped getting high, I stopped robbing people, I stopped wrecking cars in neighborhoods, I stopped getting arrested, I stopped, like, so I immediately started giving back a little bit, at least not taking anymore from society. I don't know about giving back, but I did stop taking. I can remember, I used to litter. I'd whip cigarettes out the car window. I'd whip McDonald's bags out the car window. Just never gave a fuck. And I remember I was driving with my sponsor one time and I was smoking and I flipped my cigarette out the window and he just looked at me and he was like, "So you're the only fucking person who lives here, huh?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You think you're the only person who lives here. Like, it doesn't matter." And nobody ever talked to me like this. He had, but nobody else really ever talked to me like that. And he talked to me like that often. And that's how I need talked to. Some people don't, and some people don't want to be talked to like that and don't need to be. I just do a lot better with that. And he was right, man. I never thought outside of, like, me. I never thought past me. I never thought that, like, what I do affects everybody else around me, and not just here. Like, it absolutely, we impact each other here in this society and community. Our behaviors impact each other. My behaviors have impacted people positively and negatively here. But it's the same in everyday society. What I do has an impact. I just never thought, it's that whole thing about, like, I ain't hurting anybody. And really, that's, like, all I was doing. Was harming people. Giving back, I believe deeply that, like, giving back here in Narcotics Anonymous is a way to give back to society. I mean, we go out there when we're using and fuck up our neighborhoods. So, like, if you're here helping people, you're giving back to your neighborhood and your towns and all that stuff, man. And then I just try to, again, like, goodwill, like the base of the whole thing. Like, I try to practice goodwill with strangers. I've been on this thing lately with saying hi to my neighbors. I got neighbors that will not look at me. And it's not the place I lived using. Like, they don't know that guy. It's literally just, like, people are so uncomfortable saying hi to each other these days. And we live 60 yards apart. Like, I'm going to say hi to you every day. I don't give a fuck. You can never say it back. I'm saying it. And I think it's important. I just think it's important to be neighborly. I think it's important to try to be friendly. And again, I don't always do it. My face sometimes looks miserable. I have resting bitch face. I know I have it. I cannot pretend something doesn't bother me. Even if I keep my mouth shut, my face blatantly says it. I just did it the other day. I think I lost a sponsee the other day because of my face. I ain't for everybody. But yeah, man, I just like, I just try really hard, best I can, to be friendly and like welcoming and open. Same as I was talking about with like the newcomers in the meeting coming through the door. Like, I try to take that, what I learned here, and just apply it out there. And be somebody that people feel is approachable if they need me. Just like putting myself in position to help if help is needed. And I don't always feel that way. But when I do, and when I have, when I've taken that posture and that stance here and in life in general of like just being willing to, if needed, help, I get so much more freedom, so much more joy. I feel a part of than when I'm closed off and like shut down to you and to everybody around me, and when I'm doing that whole like if I don't make eye contact maybe they won't talk to me thing that I do sometimes. That's been like a hard process. I can remember sitting in meetings and like actively trying to practice talking to new guys, and I don't just mean like brand new people 24 hours clean. I'm just talking about like new people I've never talked to before. Because I've struggled the entire time I've been clean with like relationships and building relationships with men. And I can remember this dude walking into the meeting and looking at him and saying in my head, okay, you should say hi to this guy. And then immediately going, nah, fuck that, I'm not talking to this dude. And having this conversation with myself as he's sitting down right next to me. And I'm sitting there and no, the meeting hasn't started. Nobody's, like, it's quiet. And thank God for, like, some awareness. Because there was a time in my life where I would have never gotten to the, hey, I never would have thought you should say hi to this dude. And I never would have even had the dialogue. And finally, I just looked at him and was like, hey, man, what's up? And that was it. Just, like, a normal conversation that, like, is totally harmless and has zero impact on me. And I don't know if it had any impact on him either. But, like, I used to avoid that like the plague. So... what did I talk about? All right, service. I don't know. I kind of already talked about this. I've been involved in some form of service here since I had 40 days clean. I got involved with PI, PR. I used to hang pull tabs with a hotline number on it with another addict. We would drive around and hang pull tabs in schools and... magistrates and courthouses, and we would do all those things. And then I got a year clean and I got an H&I commitment, and it's loud. And I've been doing H&I since I had a year clean, and I love H&I. It's like very easy, I think. And I don't know, outside of sponsorship, I don't know that there's a better way to like carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And yeah, I mean, I did it out of ego. I did it out of, give me an attaboy, a pat on the back. None of you ever did, thank God. And now I just do it because it's just what I've done for so long, and it's just not difficult to do. The difficult stuff, like I said, is the building relationships with new people. That's where I struggle. Some people are really good at that. I like admire watching people who are just good at talking to new people, because it is hard for me. I don't know. I serve at my home group. I have served at a home group level for a long time. My sponsor, when I first got clean, told me to like show up 35, 40 minutes early, stay 40 minutes late, and just do what is needed to be done. And I never knew why I was doing any of that shit. I showed up 40 minutes early because I was afraid of getting high. So I just would show up and I would hang out, and you all would try to talk to me, and I wanted nothing to do with that conversation. And I would look at the ground the whole time and give you one word answers. But I was like, I was willing physically, like I'll put chairs out, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I learned about so many principles that I didn't even know I was practicing by just taking those simple suggestions. And I wish I could explain that to the new dudes that I sponsor, because I'll tell them to do these things And my sponsor didn't tell me why he was telling me to do these things. I'll go as far as to try to tell them why I'm telling them to do these things. I guess, I mean, it just really is just hard to comprehend that, like, by showing up 40 minutes early to a church basement and putting chairs out for other people, that you're practicing, like, countless principles until it's your experience. Because it wasn't until it was my experience and I was able to look back and understand how much I learned by doing simple shit like that. Just the easiest stuff. I don't know. I deeply believe in service. I know what it's done for me. I know what it's done for my spirit. I know what selfless service looks like, and I know what ego-based service looks like, and I know when I'm doing both. And I will tell people this, though. I do believe in this, because I used to trip myself up of, like, well, if it's not selfless, shouldn't even do it. And I don't believe in that. I believe that it's like holding doors open for people. If I'm holding a door open for you just out of kindness in my heart, it's the right thing to do. If I'm holding the door open for you because I'm expecting a thank you or a whatever, it's still the right thing to hold the fucking door for you. I ain't supposed to slam a door in people's face. I know that. I deeply believe in, like, trying to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I believe that, like, the best way to do that is through literature. I don't believe it's through this. I know this helps, but I firmly believe that, like, our literature is the easiest and best way to do that, because I just believe it's the truth. So I try my best to, like, get books in people's hands wherever I can, new people. And then the last thing it talks about is, like, the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. And I remember first, like, year or two, I would hear that, and I thought it meant the more you I knew, the more freedom I had. Like, and it's there's some truth to it. My sponsor would push me to, like, go to other meetings. Like, I would come out here, and I would go to meetings, and I would go to Pittsburgh, and I've been to meetings in Erie. Like, I would drive Newcastle. I would drive and go to meetings, and I would meet a bunch of people, and I served on things, and I met a bunch of you, and it did help, and I gained freedom from meeting a bunch of you and pushing myself in ways I never wanted to push myself. But there's a lot more to it that I've learned from staying here than that. Like, and what it really, for me, what it is it's the more of the stuff that I've already talked about that I'm doing and applying in my life, the more freedom I've gained. The more I, like, am in contact with my higher power, I'm in contact with you, I'm open to you, the more I'm saying hi to my neighbors and smiling and, like, genuinely meaning it, even if I think he's a jerk for not saying hi back, the more of that I'm applying in my life, the more freedom I've gained. It's like true selfless service is one of the few times that I truly feel like I'm outside of, I'm, like, free from the bondage of self. When I'm, like, truly engaged in the activity at hand and I'm truly trying to be of service, I'm totally and solely in the moment. And it doesn't happen every time, and a lot of times I'm still trapped with, like, the inner dialogue and the thinking about the 20 things I got to do next week, or just not there, I'm not present. But when I am, the times that I have been able to be present while serving here or anywhere, I'm, like, totally free. And I never had that. Never, not in my life, never even knew. I never knew I was bound up until I got here. So, yeah, man, I try to use this as, like, a way to inventory myself when I think about it, when I can. And, yeah, I'm just really grateful. That's it, though. That's all I got. I don't know how long that was, but that's it. Thanks.